starting a new series. We're starting a new series. Our series is called Enough is Enough. Enough is Enough. Practicing gratitude, contentment, and thanksgiving. Practicing gratitude, contentment, and thanksgiving. I got to tell you, I forgot to make a correction. We're only going to use Luke 3, verses 10 through 14. Luke 3, 10 through 14. We'll get to Hebrews 13 later on. Okay? A few years ago, I was part of a church that I ended up pastoring the church at this particular time. I was a minister in the church, and I sang on the worship team, and I did many other things. I had more jobs than I care to remember. And I'll never forget, one day there was a young man. He was the guitar player. He was the lead guitar player, and he was very frustrated about what he was doing now versus what he felt he was called to do, and how what he was doing right now didn't seem to match or go along with what he believed his call to be. All right? And so he was expressing to me his frustration with this whole thing. And I remember saying to him, I said, the only thing I can tell you is learn to be content. I said, learn to be content. I said, Bible says godliness with contentment is great gain. I said, so learn to be content. I think the reason we struggle with the idea of contentment is because we don't really know what it means to be content. Okay? And people confuse contentment and complacency all the time. And we're gonna talk about that a little bit today, the difference between contentment and complacency. So is this dropping out? Hand me that. I'll just keep going until I find one that works. It's amazing to me. You put all these hours in. We've been in here for hours. This week alone, we were here for literally hours, Rock and I, going through the system, getting stuff straightened out, making sure everything would work the way it's supposed to work. We tested it 3 times this week. Everything worked fine. Soon as Sunday gets here, when it's supposed to work, the devil thought he had me. So let's go right into our Luke 3. I do want to, before we read our scripture, apologize to those of you that came on and was expecting our stream to be there and it wasn't. Apologize. We did have some technical difficulties. Hopefully everything is working well on your end right now and you're able to enjoy the live stream. All right. Luke 3, we're going to read verses 10 through 14. Okay, here's what it says. And the crowds were questioning him, saying, then what shall we do? And he would answer and say to them, the man who has 2 tunics is to share with him who has none. And he who has food is to do likewise. And some tax collectors also came to be baptized. And they said to him, teacher, what shall we do? And he said to them, collect no more than what you have been ordered to. Some soldiers were questioning him, saying, and what about us? What shall we do? And he said to them, do not take money from anyone by force or accuse anyone falsely, and be content with your wages. And be content with your wages. Now, this is John the Baptist talking. He's answering some people who have decided they need Jesus, but they come from different walks of life. And they're wanting to know, how should my conduct now? You know, I've got this job. The worst job you could have in the time of the Bible, in the time of John the Baptist, was the job of a tax collector.
Believe it or not, in 2021, the worst job you could have, you ever notice you can never find somebody that actually admits they work for the IRS? Have you ever noticed that? You can never find an IRS employee anywhere. Yeah, this mystical agency that just steals from people and charges exorbitant interest rates. So the worst job you could have in the time of John the Baptist was to be an IRS agent. Okay? And so John is talking to these people. They've accepted Jesus. And now he gives them three kind of conditions or orders for their life. Okay? Number one, he says, be generous. Be generous. Learn to share. Now, most of us, some of us, it takes a lifetime for us to learn to share. Share, she was a singer, wasn't she? it takes a lifetime for us to learn to share. One of the first words a child learns, mine. They pick up stuff that ain't even theirs, talking about mine. The whole world is there, mine. Basketball great Shaquille O'Neal recently had to tell his kids. He said, and I quote, "We ain't rich, I'm rich." In other words, get your own. This is mine. So learning to be generous is sometimes a lifelong process. Learning when to give, what to give, how to give. Because the Bible does give us conditions for how we give. Do you know that you're supposed to give expecting nothing in return? Ah. Then he tells them, number two, he tells them, don't take advantage of people. Stop charging exorbitant interest. Stop doing more. See, what the tax collectors would do is, let's say you owe $50 in taxes. By the time you got in front of the tax collector, they had made up some fines and fees, so like the IRS, and so that they could say that you owe $80 in taxes. Well, the other $30 was for the tax collector. So he was skimming off the top while he was getting paid to do a job anyway. And so John says, stop taking advantage of people. Then he tells them, don't abuse your authority. To the soldiers, he said, hey, stop taking stuff from people by force. Stop falsely accusing people and stop making people feel like they're going to get in trouble just because you're in the room. No, that's like the presidency right now. What we see in the text is that lack of contentment led to selfishness. It led to greed. It led to scamming people and outright robbery because they hadn't learned to live within their means. Because the last thing he tells them is, learn to live within your means. Learn to let your wages be enough. If we would learn how to live within our means, then having this great thing called contentment becomes very easy. The Bible literally says, I didn't put this one in my notes, but the Bible literally says, death and hell are never full, so the eyes of a man are never satisfied. What it literally means is, the Everett Spencer translation from the New Revised Everett Spencer Standard, it literally means you're going to always see something you want. My friend Don is actually driving my favorite vehicle right now. He allowed me when he had to go to Indianapolis for his procedure he had to have, he allowed me to drive him to the airport. And so I insisted, we have to take your vehicle. And so I got to his house, and he and Sherry, no sooner than Sherry closed the door and got comfortable, I looked at them both and said, I'm trying to take you to the store. But it's a lovely vehicle. Very, very comfortable, very plush. But see, if I didn't have contentment, I would start competing. Oh, he's got that one. I've got to go get the fully. I got to get the top of the line one. I got to get mine. And once they get the top of the line, I got to get mine this, and I got to do that. Because that's what the lack of contentment does. It says, "Not I can't be happy for them. I have to outdo them. I have to do better than them." And so you can't rejoice with those that rejoice. You can't laugh with those that laugh, because you're too busy going, "I could have did that." Are you hearing me? Next. Point number one, contentment is the opposite of covetousness. Contentment is the opposite of covetousness. Now, covetousness. You have to understand the Bible. One of the original Ten Commandments was not to covet your neighbor's stuff. Don't covet your neighbor's wife. Don't covet your neighbor's house. Don't covet your neighbor's looks, hair, whatever. All right? It's one of the original commandments, because that's how seriously covetousness is. That it literally will stop us from enjoying life because we're so busy looking at what somebody has that we don't have. Are you hearing me? I could get upset that Barb is better looking than me, but I can't do nothing about it. Nope, nothing. I could get upset that my daughter makes more money than me, but she ain't gonna let me do nothing about it. I've been asking her for a bank code. Oh, that's right. I'm sorry. Live your life. Here's what I have in my notes where I wrote. I said, contentment isn't complacency. The complacent person is usually lazy. They know something needs to be done, but refuse to make a plan or do anything about it. They usually try to spiritualize this attitude by saying things like, "I'm just waiting on the Lord. The Lord will take care of it. We just have to leave it in the hands of the Lord." Believe it or not, these are things you hear people say all the time. Because they don't want to take ownership, and they don't want to make a plan and say, "Lord, help me to address this." What you have to understand is that your life as a believer is in partnership with God. In other words, God's always going to do his part. He's usually waiting for us to do our part. Are you hearing me? And so we pray all these prayers. When James said, he said, "You pray, you have not because you ask not." He said, then when you ask amiss. One of the ways you ask amiss is you ask God to do something that you ain't going to do your part. Are you hearing me? Here's what I wrote. I said, the content person is focused and trusts God with the details of their life. They realize that they have a partnership with God, and while God isn't obligated to tell them every detail of his plan for them, they work at what he has revealed and trust him with the details. Trust and contentment go hand in hand. So one of the other reasons that people don't have contentment is they don't truly trust God. If you're one of those people that you have to know everything about everything before you can move, if you're one of those people that every detail has to be laid out for you before you can do anything, then just know you will never do anything for God, because that's not how God does things. God started talking to a man named Noah about rain. You want to know what the interesting thing was? The Bible says it had never rained. So God starts talking to you about something that's never happened. Then he tells you, "I want you to build something that's never existed before." Then he says, "And the only workforce you got is your three sons and their wives and your wife. Those are the only people going to help you." Then he gives you an even more impossible task. Now you got to go gather up all these wild animals. One male, one female. Now imagine how long it would have took. I think it was 120 years from the time God first told Noah about building this boat until the time Noah got the first Royal Caribbean ship built. And so imagine what would have happened if Noah would have been like, well, I know God said it was going to rain, but I'm waiting on him to give me a few more details. I need him to tell me.
I know what God said at that point in time. What did he say, Don?
How long can you tread water?
I need God to tell me. God did not say, how long can you tread water? Don's just feeling, he's just happy to be here today. I need God to tell me more. I need more detail. I need more. And if you read it, God was very detailed. He told him exactly, because, you know, this is something never been done. He told him exactly what kind of wood to use, what kind of trees to cut down. We told him all the measurements, exactly how many cubits this was supposed to be and how many cubits that was supposed to be. Told him how many floors were supposed to be in the thing. Right? Very detailed. So here's what I'm trying to get you to see, is that the person who trusts God is not a person who needs all the details. The details that he has given me are enough for me to get started. Are you hearing me? All right. Next. Colossians 3:5, watch this. Therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. Now, why do you say greed? Because greed, the word greed there is translated covetousness. The words are used interchangeably. Put the scripture back up, please. The words are used interchangeably. So he says, consider your earthly body dead to these things, immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness. Now watch this, which amounts to idolatry. So now you want to know why God feels as strongly as he does about covetousness? Because it's idolatry. See, for me to go, Don's got a palisade. I got to get the better palisade. The palisade has now become an idol. I've become so focused on that, I got to have it. She got red bottoms. I got to get two pair of red bottoms and a Louis Vuitton purse. Excuse me? Okay, I'm sorry. So red saying just, okay, that don't sound right. Okay, red bottom shoes, I was told to say. I'm sorry. I told you these people in this church are wonderful. They will actually help you preach. They're so wonderful. So the thing that we turn our attention to becomes an idol. Are you hearing me? Next. 1 Timothy. Now, I'm going to deal with 1 Timothy 6, I think it's 6 through 8 in a minute, but I want to deal with, on this point, I'm going to deal with 9 through 11. He says, but those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a snare and many foolish and harmful desires which plunge them into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all sorts of evil. Now, wait a minute. When y'all quote it, y'all say money is the root of all evil. The love of money is the root of all kinds or all sorts of evil. And some, by longing for it, have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. But flee from these things, you man of God, and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, and perseverance and gentleness. Now, wait a minute. Go back to 9. Today's snare, foolishness, ruin, destruction, the love of money, root of business and evil. Go to the next one. Also, see evil, and some long-term wonder faith,
And Pierce, so okay. So now, here's what you got to understand. How did all this happen? Because they couldn't be content. When he starts talking about the rich and how they're pursuing other things and how it led to all these evil things, when is enough enough? When is enough enough? The real issue with capitalism, and I tell people this all the time, let me say before I say this, I am a confirmed and devout capitalist. Okay? Let me say it again. I am a confirmed and devout capitalist. I don't like socialism in any form. I hate communism in every form. I am a confirmed and devout, I got to emphasize this, capitalist. But in my 56 years, I've learned that there is one major flaw with capitalism, and that is it promotes greed. Capitalism actually promotes covetousness, which is why you have to make a determination not to covet. You have to make a determination to be satisfied with what God has given me. Are you hearing me? Next. Contentment is the governor of ambition. Contentment is the governor of ambition. What do I mean by that? That the only thing that really can control your ambition is contentment. I used to have I'd still have it. I just, don't use it around my wife as much. I had a saying that my wife really couldn't stand on. She hated it but it was how I got things done, And so she would ask me about something. There was a problem or we needed money for something. And she said, what's the plan? What are we going to do with this? And I would tell her, I said, well, if nothing happens, I'll make something happen. I literally say that. If nothing happens, if a solution doesn't show up, just know, bruh got a solution. You hear what I'm saying? She told me, I just can't stand when you say that. I said, why? She said, because it sounds like you're not trusting God. I said, no, it means I'm trusting God even more. That God's gonna give me a plan or an answer so that I can go get what I need. Are you hearing me? So what I had to learn was that in order for me to be pleasing to God and get what he had for me in the earth, I ain't talking about what I'm going to get when I get to heaven. Some folks are satisfied just having a mansion over there. I want to have a mini mansion over here. Y'all get mad at me if you want to. I don't care. So I had to learn, though, to allow contentment to control my ambitions. That if I allowed my ambitions, listen to me, I'm telling y'all, I had made up my mind. And, this is the stuff you do when you're young. You're young, you don't think things through. You don't think about how stupid it sounds, because when you think it and you say it, it sounds profound to you, and you don't understand why it's not profound to everybody else. I had made up my mind at like 30 years old. I'll never forget it. I was sitting in the back of the church. I was about 29 years old. The Holy Spirit, pastor was preaching. I don't even remember what he was preaching about, because the Lord started talking to me about something else. And I remember writing down on a piece of paper, I wrote, if the earth is the Lord, the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein, if this is true, then... And if my father is rich in houses and land, as the Bible says, all this is Bible, okay? I said, if my father owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, that's how they describe God's wealth in the Bible. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. Isn't that what it says? I said, then I ought to be able to own at least one hill and one cow. I don't need all the cows. I don't want all the hills. I just want one hill and one cow. And somebody said, why a cow? I said, because I'm going to milk him till I can't milk him no more. When I can't milk him no more, I'm going to skin him, and I'm going to eat steaks, and I'm going to make leather belts and shoes. Here's my point. I had made up in my mind, Don. I'm going to conquer the world. I'm going to build something so big that it's going to glorify God because it's going to be off the hook. It's going to be off the chain. And guess what? Me and my crazy self started trying to do it. And guess what? Me and my crazy self was actually doing it. I was actually doing it. But here's the thing. My ambition was running away with me. My ambition was running away with me to the point that it was controlling me instead of me controlling it. And so God had to teach me a lesson about contentment. Because contentment is the governor. It's what controls our ambition. I don't need everything today. I don't need everything I needed yesterday. The one thing you learn as you get older, hey, let me tell y'all something. 2021 has helped a lot of people learn I didn't need as much as I thought I did. 2020 and 20, listen, when the toilet paper shortage happened, listen. When you have folks fighting in the store over toilet paper, folks learn. I don't need as much as I thought I did. Right now, I just need some toilet paper. Can I get? Man, giving you two sheets of toilet. Here you go. Here's two sheets. But we learned. I'm gonna tell y'all something. All y'all young folks looking at me, because y'all ballers. I got a row full of ballers over here. They all balling out. They doing big things in their life, and I'm proud of them. They doing big things. But I'm gonna tell y'all something. There's some folks in here that's just a little bit older than y'all. And what we know is, you don't need all that to live. You can live a real comfortable life. Now, don't get me wrong. Go ahead and conquer as much as you can conquer. Do as much as you can do. But listen to me. Stack your chips. Stack your chips. Live lean by design so that you don't have to live lean by demand. Give me a scripture. Hebrews 13:5. I told you we'd get there. Make sure that your character is free from the love of money. I'm going to read that again. Make sure that your character is free from the love of money. Now, Paul wrote to Timothy and said, the love of money is what? Of all sorts of evil. Now in Hebrews, the writer writes, make sure that your character is free from the love of money, being content with what you have. For he himself has said, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. Now, let me ask you something. What does that last part have to do with being content? He starts off talking about getting your character right where money's concerned, right? Then he says, be content with what you have. Then this statement doesn't seem to fit with everything else he's talking about. He says, for he himself has said, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. What does that have to do with being content? That's the contentment part. Being content with him and realizing, guess what? I don't need all this stuff anyway because I can't take it with me. Trust me, I told y'all the other week, the Egyptians tried. They tried with everything in them. You remember, did anybody other than me ever see the movie The Jerk? Remember the movie The Jerk? Steve Martin played the jerk, and he had made this great invention, and the great invention made him a billionaire. And then the great invention was making people cross-eyed, severely cross-eyed. So he started losing lawsuits, and he had lost everything. And he's standing there declaring, he said, I don't need anything. I've been poor before. I don't need anything. Then he said, but this. Then he would declare again. He said, I don't need anything. And then he would say, but this. By the time he got done, he got an arm full of stuff. That's what the Egyptians were trying to do. I don't want none of this, but I'm going to take this with me. I don't need none of this, but I'm going to take this with me. Well, guess what? The Egyptians taught us, and we still understand this, because the richest people, when they die, guess what? I ain't never seen a Brinks truck in a funeral processional. It don't happen. I told y'all the story. The woman, her husband was on his deathbed. And he told her, he said, I've saved a lot of money. She said, you have? He said, yes. He said, I've saved well over $1 million. He said, and I don't think I'm going to make it. He said, but in order for you to get that $1 million, I put a condition in my will that you could never get married again. And so he went on and passed, and her girlfriend said she had started seeing somebody else. And her girlfriend said, well, what are you going to do? She said, oh, I gave him the money back. She said, you did what? She said, girl, I wrote him a check. Because she realized he can't use it. He can't do nothing with it. So here's my point, that we have to learn this whole thing. Contentment is important. It's important that we understand. Now, we say it because it makes us sound spiritual. Jesus is enough. As long as I got King Jesus. We wrote songs. Long as I got King Jesus. Long as I got King Jesus. Long, 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 long. See? See? They went to that Pentecostal church down the street. We got some folks in here that went to the Pentecostal church down the street. My grandbaby looking at me like, what is wrong with you? So we it makes us sound spiritual. As long as I got Jesus, I don't need nobody else. Little girl, it was a storm, bad storm, thunder, boom, 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 boom. Little girl, a little bit younger than Alicia, storm, thunder hit, boom. She ran in the room where her daddy was. And her daddy said, what's wrong, baby? She said, I'm scared. He said, you don't have to be scared. Jesus will protect you. She said, okay. She went back in her room. The thunder hit again. Boom, she ran back in his room. What's wrong, baby? She said, I'm scared. He said, baby, I told you, you don't have to be scared. Jesus will protect you. She said, okay. She went back in her room. This time it was thunder and lightning. Boom, crash. She ran and jumped in the bed with her dad. And her dad said, baby, I told you, Jesus will protect you. She said, I know, but I need Jesus with some skin on right now. So it's easy for us to say, oh, I'm just going to trust Jesus. Long as I got King Jesus. But see, one of the things contentment does is contentment doesn't allow our attitude to change based on our circumstance. See, people who are content, they're the same person when they're doing well as they are when they're doing bad. You ever seen people? I'm talking about everything don't change. One and the whole world just fell apart. They can't smile. They can't speak to nobody. Everything. And then when it worked out, all of a sudden they want to come hug you. Oh, I'm so glad Jesus worked it out. No, you wasn't spiritual when you was going through it. You were mean as a barrel of snakes. Next. Luke 12:15. Oh, this is good. Luke 12:15. Watch this. This is Jesus speaking. He said, then he said to them, beware and be on your guard against every form of greed or covetousness. For not even when one has an abundance does his life consist of his possessions. So not when you have a lot. I got a lot, so I'm good. No. Your life is more than your stuff. And you find people who's put their confidence in their stuff, there's some lonely folks. None of that stuff keeps you warm. It doesn't talk to you at night. It don't comfort you. I heard a very wealthy person say this. He said, somebody asked him, they said, because he had come from real poverty, and now he's a very wealthy entertainer. And they asked him, they said, what would you say is the number one thing about having money? He said, he thought for a second, he said, money takes things that would be a catastrophe and makes them an inconvenience. He said, that's all money does. He said, for example, he said, and I'm not saying you as in you, he said, but for somebody who's not as wealthy as I am, their car breaking down could be catastrophic because it means they can't get to work on time. They can't. He said, my car breaks down, I just buy another one. You see what I'm saying? He said, it's an inconvenience. He said, but it's not catastrophic. You getting this? Jesus said, hey, he said, guard against every form of covetousness, because not even when one has an abundance does his life consist of his possessions. Now watch what happens in verse 22. Go ahead. Verse 22, he said to his disciples, for this reason I say to you, do not worry about your life as to what you will eat, nor for your body as to what you will put on. So he says, life doesn't consist of an abundance of things. So stop worrying about, well, what am I going to eat today? The Bible says, I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed beg for bread. God makes sure you're going to have something to eat. He may not make sure you have what you want to eat. Uh-huh. There's a difference. There's a difference. Now, here's the question. What happened between verse 15 and verse 22? What happened? Do I have a note there? I don't. Okay, well, add verses 16 through 21. 16 through 21. I'm sorry. I thought I had written something out so I can convey it to you. And my memory ain't what it used to be. Luke 12, 16 through 21. Y'all don't know where Luke is? It's in the New Testament. So watch this. And he told them, he told them a parable. So what happens between 15, when he says life doesn't pursue life, and then 22, where he says, don't worry about what you want to drink. He starts telling them this parable. He says, the land of a rich man was very productive. Watch this. And he began reasoning to himself, saying, what shall I do, since I have no place to store my crops? In other words, things are going so well, I've got more than I need. Next. Then he said, this is what I will do. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods. So he is so consumed by his possessions, it never even dawns on him, I got more than I need, I could give some away. It never even dawns on him, I've got more than I need, I can feed the hungry. Never even dawns on him, I got more than I need, I could share. Never dawns on him. His solution to his abundant problem is, I'm going to get more land and build more buildings so I can store my stuff. Stuff that I probably can't use no way. Verse 19. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years to come. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. So now that I built these barns and I got everything the way I want it, I got all my extra stored up. Now I'm going to just tell myself, now you can relax. Now you can chill. But verse 20 comes. But God said to him, you fool. This very night your soul is required of you, and now you will own what you, now who will own what you have prepared? Who inherits your bigger barns, buddy? Because you can't take none of this grain with you. So is the man who stores up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Now you see why God, Jesus was telling them, be content. Be content. It is better to have a great relationship with the Lord and trust him than it is to any, what time is it? Do I have another point? All right, I'm going to finish this point in 3 minutes. Watch this. Give me 4 minutes. Having a spirit of contentment is success. Having a spirit of contentment is success. The reason it's success is because it's hard to obtain. You have to really walk in humility, and you have to really put yourself in check in order to have a spirit of contentment without becoming complacent. When I'm talking about having a spirit of contentment, I'm talking about a person who is content with what they have, but they have a plan to do some more. Are you hearing me? Look at the scripture. Watch this. But godliness actually is a means of great gain when accompanied by contentment. Now, here's how the King James says it. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Okay? So godliness and contentment combined means you're successful. Got it? Verse 7. For we have brought nothing into the world, so we cannot take anything out of it either. If we have food and covering, with these we shall be what?
Content.
One of the greatest revelations God gave me, Don, is that the clothes at Walmart work just as well as the ones at Saks Fifth Avenue. Now, they may not look as fancy, but they do. Guess what clothes are designed to do? Cover your behind. I'm just telling you. Next. Philippians 4, 11, 13. Not that I speak from want, for I have learned, watch this, I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. So now let me ask you this. How do we get contentment? How do we get contentment? I have learned. How do we get contentment? I have to learn to be content. I have to learn to be content. So who teaches me this contentment? The Holy Spirit. All right? I know how to get along with humble means, and I also know how to live in prosperity. Some people can't. They can't take it when things are well. They just can't. They can be dead broke. You give them $1,000, they will literally go crazy. I've seen it happen. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry. Both of having abundance and suffering need. What we have in America is too many people who are being put in positions of leadership that don't know what it means to be without. And so they make policies and procedures that don't take into consideration those who don't have what they have. And so you have two extremes. You have the people on one hand who want to leave out anybody that's not where they are. They just, you just didn't get it when I got it. I'm sorry. You just wasn't as lucky as me. Then you got the people on the other side who don't want to give up any of their money, but they want to have programs that the taxpayer pay for to take care of everybody. So what's the solution? The solution is we have to know that God is still God, whether I have a lot or whether I have a little. This is my problem with the prosperity gospel. The prosperity gospel says God is only good while I'm prospering. And if God is really who he says he is, then I should be able to drive a Rolls Royce. Well, if that's the case, Don is driving the wrong car. I can do all things through him who stood. Now, wait a minute. How many of y'all have ever quoted this scripture? How many of y'all knew he was talking about going hungry? This is why I keep telling y'all, you better read your Bible. Better read your Bible. Because when he says, I can do all things through him who strengthens me, he just finished talking about the things he could do, being hungry and being without. All right. Hopefully we said something to help you, and hopefully this blessed you. Learning to be content is really the master key to success in life. And learning to be content without being complacent, that's the double whammy. Because here's the thing, I'm going to tell y'all something. Y'all want to know something about me? I still like luxury cars. I still like tailor-made suits. I still like very fine shoes. I just don't feel like I need them. Are y'all hearing me? Now, that don't mean I don't want them. Remember what I said? The Bible says, death and hell are never full, so the eyes of a man are never satisfied. Trust me. Brother got good eyes. I can see. Now, if y'all really want to know the truth, there's a Rolls Royce that I think is the killer bomb. I'm like, huh? Don't make me start talking about it. But guess what? If God wants me to have one, I've got some plans that I'm working on and he'll make something prosper to where I don't even have to think about it. I can go, this is okay. No big deal. This is what God is doing in my life now. Right? Nobody can get mad. It's what God is doing. I never get mad. I never get mad at people for being wealthy. That's the lie of our society. That if you don't have wealth, you should hate the rich. But ask anybody who's ever been poor, which would you rather be? Rich or poor? I want to be rich. Oh, then why do you hate what you want to be? It really is. It really is. You got to understand this stuff. So what, understanding contentment, it means I don't have everything right now that God promised me. But he's given me a plan to get everything that he promised me. Because he's faithful to his word. Now, I still got to do my part. To quote Don, you got to get up off your butt and do something. That's how Don says it. All right, let's pray before Don say something else. Father, we certainly thank you for this time together. We thank you for your loving kindness. We thank you for your word that comes, to reprove us, comes to shape us, comes to make us. Help us to grow in contentment. Help us to grow in contentment. Help us to grow in such a way that we are content without being complacent. That we still make big plans. We still have big dreams. But we understand that our big plans and our big dreams shouldn't be driving us. They shouldn't be the focal point of our life. You are the focal point. And we recognize that we'll only accomplish what the part that's your will anyway. And so, Father, we give you praise for that now. In the matchless name of Jesus, we pray. Everyone said,
amen.
Everyone said,
amen.
Can you do it?
Amen, amen. Let's give the man of God a hand. That was a good word. I always enjoy November because we talk about being thankful. And this word was a good reminder for me about being content. Because I remember back in 2015, I'd just given my life back to God. I was working a job where I was living paycheck to paycheck. I was frustrated. And I remember literally like crying to my mom and telling her, I feel like every day I go to that job, I'm dying in that chair. And I remember one day I was doing my devotional at work, and I would go to work. And I would go to work, I would do my job, but I just wouldn't do it with a good attitude. I was, you know, kind of snappy and just there, you know, I'm just working. And I remember one day God asked me, he said, if I never promoted you ever again, I never gave you another pay raise, and I told you to sit in this chair, would I still be enough for you? And it changed my whole perspective on the job. That God was trying to get me to realize that this isn't about these people. It isn't about this thing that you're currently doing. It isn't about the paycheck that you're getting. It's, are you satisfied with me? And I remember that, like, I literally did a whole 180. Because I just changed my perspective and stopped looking at the circumstance, stopped looking at the situation, and started looking at Jesus. And saying, you're enough. If I never move from this seat, that I'll be okay because I got you. And so that was a good reminder for me, though, because since then, God's promoted me. I make a whole lot more money. But I got that itch again. He's like, am I enough? Can you be satisfied if I never promote you again, if I never move you and I tell you to do this job that you don't really want to be doing, that is not really what you ultimately want to do? Can you be satisfied with me? So I just want to encourage us to just reflect on that today. Pastor preached a good word. And when we think about our relationship with Jesus, it is all we really need. That we can't take none of this stuff with us. I can't take the money. I can't take the cars. I can't take the houses. They're nice to have. I'm not saying I don't want a nice house. I'm not saying I don't want a nice car. But should that be my main focus? Should that be my reason for doing what I'm doing? And so I'm thankful to be in a relationship with a God that loves me enough to remind me that he is sufficient. That he has everything that I need. And that if I focus on him, I'll recognize that. So if you're listening to this message today, whether it's on a live stream in this